We're turning to the Old Testament, the book of Hosea, and chapter 4, and we'll commence at verse 1 for our scripture reading. Hosea chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, and killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priest, and I will punish them for their ways, and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredoms, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. For rulers with shame do love, give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Amen. May God be pleased to bless the public reading of his word to our hearts. The message of God's faithful servant Hosea to the people of his own day declares simply and plainly just how far the people of Israel had departed from the Lord. The opening verse of this chapter reads like this: Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And as we ponder these words, surely they are most applicable even in our own day, and especially as we read further into this passage of Scripture and see Israel's indictment pronounced by the Lord in verse 6. And what a verse it is. God says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. What an indictment by the Lord upon a nation. God underlines three aspects of the problem, which was destroying Israel and which is also destroying our own nation even today. The men and women of Hosea's day ought to have been ashamed when they received such a rebuke from the Lord. And so should we in our land be rebuked in our day, because our own country has slipped back so far from the days of the reformers and the days of the Puritans and the days of Reformation gospel preaching. The cause of this continual backsliding is clearly defined in this sad and solemn text of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. The first of the three things that I would highlight this evening is this: there was a lack of knowledge. God declared concerning Israel, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And no doubt, as God looks down upon us today, even at this very moment, His verdict is exactly the same. There is a serious lack of knowledge in our land today. We're not speaking, of course, of intellectual knowledge, of learning as such in our colleges and universities, but we're speaking in a spiritual sense, for there is a serious lack of knowledge in our land concerning the things of God. There's a dearth, there's a famine for the word of God today. Such people are very far from God. Even in Hosea's day and in our own day, leaders and people alike would seem to be and give the appearance of being very far away from God indeed. It was the Church of Rome who preferred to keep Europe in darkness during the Middle Ages. We can't really blame Rome for the darkness of today, especially in our own nation. That is because our own people have departed from the living God. They have thrown aside the Word of God, and they have introduced their own ways and their own imaginations. The Word of God declares in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And we pray that there will be a beginning again, that there'll be a revival again of spiritual knowledge, of the fear of God. We were thinking about that this morning, even from Genesis chapter 28, and how we long for a return of the fear of God leading to a knowledge of God and leading to men and women knowing God personally through Jesus Christ, God's dear Son. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, argues in a similar manner. He says there, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The wisdom of this world, the intellectualism of the world, the learning of the world will not lead to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's only when the Word of God is made clear and the Gospel is preached and there's a return to the truths of the Bible. In these days we need the Bible. In these days we need an anchor. In these days we need a Savior. The days are dark, but thank God there is hope in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here tonight and you're living in darkness. And you're living out of Christ. You're living in your sin. Thank God there's hope for you as well. And you can be gloriously saved by repenting of your sin and turning to Jesus Christ and accepting Him as your Savior and your Lord. Israel, in the time of Hosea, lacked spiritual knowledge. That is because false prophets had arisen, false teachers had arisen, and they led the people astray. Now we can see reflected in our land today a very similar situation. The same can be said of this present time. Many of the pulpits from which the great principles of the Protestant Reformation, the great principles of biblical Protestantism were once proclaimed, are now occupied by ecumenists and by Romanizers who are depriving their congregations of scriptural knowledge and of scriptural truth. That's what happened in the days of Hosea and prior to his time. False teachers arose, false prophets arose, and they taught not the truth of God, led the people into darkness, and the priests of the day led the way. Is that not the case still? History has the funny habit of repeating itself, and truly we can see these things happening in our day. There is a tremendous responsibility, therefore, on the preachers of the gospel, on the true presenters of Jesus Christ, to truly preach Christ and to preach the truth and the knowledge of God's word to their hearers, to their communities, and to their land, and to pray that God would enlighten us again and turn our people back to God. Every preacher, therefore, requires the burden of Hosea and the same degree of faithfulness that Hosea had. And if we're to reach this generation with the truth of the gospel and with this knowledge of God's salvation, then we must have Hosea's conviction, Hosea's faithfulness, and Hosea's burden and concern to reach them with the truth of God's word. We must remember that Romanism and every other false religion and cult will continue to thrive and will continue to increase if our people do not return to the Lord. And that's the way it is at this present moment. How the church needs to pray. God's people need to bend the knee. They need to make sacrifices. They need to set time apart. They need to pray individually and come together to pray and to pray for a mighty heaven-sent revival. We have this God-given duty to instruct and to educate in spiritual things the people around us and the congregations to whom we minister. There was a lack of knowledge. The cause of Israel's departure and apostasy and sin in the time of Hosea. A lack of knowledge of spiritual things, of the knowledge of the Word of God. But not only was there a lack of knowledge, but there was a rejection of knowledge. That takes it even a step deeper and makes it even much more serious. A rejection of knowledge. God continued his rebuke to Israel in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 by saying, "Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject them." Not only was there a lack of knowledge on the part of these people, but there was a rejection. Note that. A rejection of knowledge. Their ears were closed to the truth. Their ears were closed to the message of spiritual truth and wisdom. They didn't want to hear. They rejected God and His Word. And today, sadly, throughout our nation, they are rejecting spiritual truth. They are rejecting spiritual wisdom. And at every turn and in every angle, we can see them throwing aside, rejecting the message of the Bible. And a nation that forgets God, a nation that lacks knowledge, and a nation that rejects the knowledge of God, God will judge, as He did Israel, as Hosea said He would, God did. And the individual who rejects the knowledge of God and rejects Jesus Christ as his Savior, that individual is also doomed for judgment. And as the Bible pronounces it, then it shall come to pass. And if you reject Christ as your Savior, you reject the knowledge of the Word of God, and you reject what already has been taught to you, my dear friend, you can readily accept that God will judge your sin of rejecting and of sinning against the light that He has shone on your pathway. That's the truth of Scripture. That's the truth of the Bible. I can't change it. You can't change it. Nobody else can. Modern man might try to change it. False religions try to change it. But it can't be done. God hath spoken, and what God has spoken, He will bring it to pass. So therefore, there is no hiding place for the ungodly. There's no hiding place for the sinner. There's no hiding place for rejecting the knowledge of God. One day, your sin will be exposed, and you'll stand before the Lord, before His judgment throne, and you'll be condemned in your sin, and you'll be cast out of His presence into a lost sinner's hell for eternity. And what a tragedy that would be, coming from a gospel preaching church, having heard the warnings, the invitations, and the exhortations, and to reject it. Reject the knowledge of God. That was a tragedy for the people of Hosea's time, and it'll be a tragedy for our time and for you if such should befall you. Sadly today, even Her Majesty's government, and we might say all the main political groupings in Westminster, have set the Bible to one side. And in recent years, in our lifetime, throughout the past decade, they have even legalized those heinous sins and perversions which God has declared to be abominations in His sight. And will most definitely incur His righteous wrath. It's true, friend. The man on the street, the woman in the street, when approached about the things of God, often reject the speaker, reject the preacher in the open air, reject his message, and many most likely mock the words of wisdom and instruction that have been given. And a nation like Israel, that once feared the Lord, redeemed out of Egypt, led by God through the wilderness, entered into the promised land, settled by the Lord and given their portions in the land of Canaan, blessed richly, blessed beyond imagination, turning their backs upon God, now with a lack of knowledge, because they have rejected that knowledge. Their leaders, both political and religious, have turned their backs upon God, and the whole nation is apostatizing. And God in judgment is going to bring them away into captivity. And for 70 years later, they will endure the punishment of God in the land of Babylon. The judgment of God. A nation ripe for judgment. A people ripe for judgment. Maybe the cup of your sin is full. Who knows but God? And you could be a sinner ripe for judgment. Think about that. Think about it. God can take you away in his wrath and condemn you to everlasting wrath. My friend, you need to be saved. You need Christ. You need God's salvation. You need the precious atoning blood of the Lamb applied to your soul. Because redemption is only through the shedding of blood. And the Savior shed his precious blood that sinners like you and me might be saved. And when that blood is applied to your heart by personal faith, thank God your sins are forgiven. Your iniquities are gone. You become a child of God. You become an inheritor of his kingdom. And you'll never perish. And neither shall any pluck you out of the Lord's hand. That's the security. That's the wonder of God's great salvation. Don't miss it. Oh, dear friend, we love you in the Lord. That's why we preach these messages. That's why we warn you not to hurt you, but to win you to Christ, so you might see your danger, that you might come as a sinner to the Savior, that you might wash in the blood and be saved, that when you die, you might go to heaven to be with Christ forevermore. Oh, be warned. Remember Israel in the time of Hosea. Oh, they lacked knowledge. They rejected knowledge. The knowledge they lacked was spiritual. The knowledge they rejected was spiritual. They rejected the light of God. The light that shone into their heart, teaching them their wrongs. They rejected it. And instead they insisted in going their own way and down the road to judgment. This message is frightening. God says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. It's not the preacher who makes it frightening. It's the Word of God. Not only is it the Bible, you may take the Bible and think this is the Bible, but listen, it's God who's speaking here. These are the very words of God. His very breath is in every word and syllable. We can even see God speaking here. He says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. And let me put it this way. Because thou hast rejected God's Son, God will reject you. Some people think that somehow in the end, God, who is merciful, he'll overlook these things. And at the last, you'll be accepted into heaven. My friend, that's a deception from hell. That's a false spirit trying to blind you. You need the Savior. You need Christ. You need to be born again. The blessing of God has in many ways, like Israel, already sadly departed from our nation. The British Empire, as it used to be known, was once the envy of the world. But it has diminished. And Britain is now regarded by the nations of the world as just another little country trying to live on the legacy of its former glory. That's sad, isn't it? Even amongst our so-called friends in Europe, in the European Economic Community, so-called, she becomes a laughing stock. And while Mr. Cameron may wriggle and twist and try to say that he's pulling out of Europe, the way ahead is very difficult, and for him well nigh impossible. Only God's intervention, only the Lord in his showing mercy and giving grace and a return of the spirit of spiritual knowledge, people learning about their sin and godlessness, and the Holy Spirit taking that knowledge and applying it to the hearts of the people, convicting them of their sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Only such a manner can lead our people out of the darkness back to the glorious light of gospel truth. And you need to pray, Christian brother and sister, you need to pray that God will be pleased to do such things. And thank God what he has done in the past, in revivals, in reformation. Thank God, God is mighty. And there are still yet mightier works to be wrought by the Lord. And the one who is omnipotent and all-powerful is able to do this, for nothing is impossible with the Lord. Oh, may it be that God will work again. Israel lacked knowledge. Israel rejected the knowledge of God. And going still further, Israel is warned by the Lord, saying, "Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." There is the forgetting of knowledge. Very easy to forget what we learn in Scripture. We attend convention meetings. Last week we had the wonderful privilege of attending the Congress at Martyrs Memorial. Those were blessed meetings. The word was precious to us. And everyone to another would say, what a meeting, what a blessing, what things we were taught. Tell me, if I ask you, how much of it do you remember now? Do we not forget knowledge that has been imparted to us? In our Bible college days, we learn the Word of God and we learn various aspects concerning our training for the ministry. Oh, we must confess that there's so much we forget. So much we forget. And here's Israel not just forgetting God's law, but they forgot the God of that law. And because of that, judgment is coming upon them. You've heard the gospel, friend, for years perhaps. You've heard it here, you've heard it elsewhere. You read your Bible, you know the truth. You know you need to be saved, but my friend, you have forgotten what you've been taught. You've forgotten what God has showed you. You've forgotten those times of conviction. You've forgotten those times when God drew near and you're almost in the kingdom. But like the rich young ruler, you ran away. And we never read of that young man ever returning. And I suppose we can take it from that, that he's still running away from God all these years later. And what a tragedy if you should run away from God tonight and forget what He has said to you, and for the rest of your life and for all eternity, you find yourself on the run from God, trying to hide from the punishment and judgment at your lot. I'm glad there's a Saviour from all sin. Will you let Him in tonight? There's an answer to Israel's need. There's an answer to your need. There's an answer to the need of the world tonight. There's an answer to the need of our people this evening. And Jesus Christ is that answer. He's the Saviour you need. It's not more religion. Not even more education. Well, we're not condemning a good education. But my friend, it's Jesus Christ you need. It's a Saviour from all sin that you need. You need to invite Him into your heart and trust Him as your Saviour. Thank God, He came into the world to lay down His life, a ransom for many. And on the cruel cross at Calvary, He shed His precious blood and opened up a way whereby sinners can come to God. He satisfied the justice of the Almighty. And praise God, He satisfies the longing of the sinner's heart and the craving of a sinner's soul. And thank God, we can say with the hymn writer, none but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love, life, lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee. My dear friend, that's the answer. Don't miss it. You don't lack the knowledge of it, but don't reject it. Don't forget it. Accept it. Believe it. Receive it. For to as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Will you come tonight and rest your soul's eternal salvation on the merits of Christ, on the finished work of the cross? And if you do, you'll be saved. You'll be sure of it. And you'll go on your way to heaven.